Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into YouSWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of IT-Market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our human resource office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. The number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Good evening. It's a wonderful Thursday, and I know Jesus is the Lord, and I'm welcoming you. My name is Leivon Breland, the host of YouSWAT Radio and the founder of Living Glory Campaign. Tonight we have an exciting lesson. We're opening up a new series, a new volume of teaching, rather, and it's going to be several lessons that we're going to do through the rest of the month of March into a little bit into April. But I think it's very important that we begin to study on this vein, and as I promised, we will be having special times of prayer on Sunday evening lessons to kind of set a new atmosphere in this year. We've been dealing a lot in leadership principles and establishing a sound soul. We've gotten into that, and there's much more material on that. And we've dealt with five legitimate needs of ministry. We've dealt with the Hour of Manifesto, the Great Manifesto. We're in that series as well. So we have a lot of teaching out on the radio program, but there's even more that's coming this year. And I'm excited that you're going to be able to partake of the revelation word that is coming forth through this ministry. If you so happen to be listening to internet and for some reason cannot stay on internet, you can always call our listeners, our dial-in listeners, number, which is 646-595-4877. Again, that number, if you have to get off the internet for any reason, or if you're listening by phone and you want to let someone else know to join in and they don't have internet, they can listen by phone by calling 646-595-4877. Spread that word around as you're continually doing. We are growing. We're getting more listeners in as each week goes by, and we are appreciative of the Holy Spirit as He has truly blessed this organization in spreading the gospel. And we are not only spreading gospel specifically to unbelievers, which unbelievers do listen, and there are materials out there for you to establish a succinct walk with the Holy Spirit. But this is designed for ministers, ministry to ministers, a collaboration of ministers. We also have a facet in our organization that is devoted to ministers and to the ministry of ministers, which is my personal calling. And if you would like to be involved in that, get some mailing information, you can email me at nauwl.ugc@gmail.com. Again, that's nauwl.ugc@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave your email and information at 641-715-3800, extension 16377. Again, that number is 641-715-3800, extension 16377. And that number is for ministers and the ministry to ministers of the ministry, because a lot of times when we're giving out so much, we neglect what the Lord has really invested into us. Amen. So I'm excited about that as well. And I'm also excited about an upcoming event. We are studying and researching. Me and the president of the organization are going to put together some wonderful segments for our first International Leadership Institute by way of USWAT Radio. Tune in on April 5th through the 12th. Again, that's April 5th through the 12th. Each night at 6 p.m., we're going to be on live, and you can also dial in that number at 646-595-4877, and you can register on our website. And our website address is located on our USWAT Radio program, blog radio program site as well, profile. So look on that, and then also you can always call 641-715-3800, extension 91120, and there will be a link on there addressing you about the conference and how to register. We're believing God to have 100 people registered for the event, and we want to let everyone know that there's downloadable material. There's going to be awesome insight and discussion at a nice pace where you can get a lot of material and insight on things about ministering in times of recession or leadership in times of recession. And we're going to really get into the Word of God. I've done a lot of study. I have a set of books that I'm looking at right now that is prepping me, along with some other books that I've also used to help me prep myself for this particular program that we have in this particular set of courses. So spread the word. Let everybody know that we're going to be on the air at a different time on the second week of April or the first week of April, one of those weeks of April that we're going to be studying. It's April 15th or 12th. And you can always call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. Again, that number is 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more information. And we are excited about that, the international. We're going to spread the word. We're going to be sending out blasts on leadership development, women in leadership, men in leadership, all types of principles, integrity in leadership, the ministry of integrity, how it pertains to leadership, being a Christian in leadership in a secular community, how to be successful. All types of information is going to be going on, and there's going to be a lot of information given. There's going to be a packet given of information for you to look on with us and get notes and get involved into each night's lesson, because we believe that as a result of you tuning in, that you're going to be a quintessential asset to the development of the great manifestation that has been prophesied for this year and for ages to come. So we're excited about that. Tonight I'm going to do an introductory lesson on prayer. We're going to talk about prayers. I've been prompted by the Spirit of God to, before we go into the other realms of teaching that we're going into, is to reestablish some foundations. And one of the basic foundations to our sacred vocation is prayer. And I think it's very important that we revisit the claims of prayer and the realm of prayer. So tonight we're going to be talking about the realm of prayer, and it's in the volume of teaching entitled Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life. Simply Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life, and we're going to be talking about the realm of prayer. Tonight we're going to go to just a few scriptures, and I'm going to give you the scriptures as I always do beforehand, and then we're going to continue on Sunday and the next Thursday and the next Sunday and the next Thursday and the next Sunday, and then we're going to go all already get prepared for the leadership conference. Amen. But we're going to start with prayer, and I think it's very important that in this particular season, that we begin to increase our prayer life. So tonight's lesson, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 18. We're going to go to Ephesians 6, 18. We're also going to go to, refer to Matthew chapters 1 through 10. We're going to go through that and exegete that a little bit. We're also going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And we're going to find ourselves also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 16 through 25, Matthew 5, verse 37. And I believe we'll be able to end up at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And then we'll get into the meat of the text on Sunday. I'm excited about this lesson because there's a lot of information, a lot of scriptures I'm going to be given. As you know, and this is really the introduction. This is just the introductory message. And we have some other scriptures. You can also always refer to Matthew chapter 6. Pay close attention to Matthew chapter 6 throughout the next lesson because we're going to go back to that, and we're going to also focus on 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in the next few lessons. That's going to really help you with these lessons. It would be good for you, if you're listening to the broadcast, to study prayer and to come in, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence, to build yourself up with the evidence of the Spirit prior to listening to these broadcasts. And I would encourage everybody to download the broadcast that we have available. We have the Hour of Manifesto available. We have some Sound in My Soul. We even did a special sneak peek in a volume of teaching that hasn't even been released on CD yet last week on 8 Legitimate Means for the Spirit Realm. That was an awesome teaching. I would encourage y'all to download it. I was blessed in even sharing the studies that which the Lord has entrusted me with. So tonight, as we prep our hearts to enter into a greater understanding on the reality and empowering the preacher's prayer life, it is my prayer and it is my intent that you would not only hear what I'm saying, but take into consideration the dispensation that we're in and the importance of prayer. For the next 45 minutes, we're going to be straight in the throne room of God, and we're not going to leave. And I pray that even afterwards, you'll continue to exemplify the prayer and the study of prayer that we're going into. It's an important study. There are some ministries, if you're not involved, and let me say this before I get started, if you're not involved in some form of prayer ministry and you are a minister of the gospel, I personally challenge you to get involved. And I'm saying that very kindly. Normally, my nature would be to be very sarcastic. But out of compassion, I am insisting that you involve yourself in a prayer ministry. Not where you're the leader, but where you are involved. And I have a team of people that I pray with, that I pray for. And one of the ministries in which the Lord gave me as a young child, up until now to adulthood, is the ministry of prayer. And that's a ministry that will never end in my lifetime, nor the generations that are produced after me. So I'm very serious about this particular time, and there's going to be some fundamental scriptures that we're reviewing. It's not to insult your intelligence. We are very alerted to the audience that we minister to, are very vast and knowledgeable about scriptures, and it is in that intent that I am reemphasizing these particular passages and portions of teaching because there should be an effect to the excellence that we emit. And if there is, then there's a greater witness that should come out as a result of our prayer life amongst the preaching clergy that is exemplified in the body of Christ. So let's look to the Father as we begin this lesson tonight and invoke him and invite him into this lesson. Father, it is again a privilege and an honor to come before your presence with thanksgiving, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I do lean to the Holy Spirit, the educator and the guide for tonight, to think through my mind clearly, consistently, that the articulation of speech might come in soundness in the power of the Spirit, that the things which I have purposed and meditated on and gathered in the Scriptures would be illuminated in my mind as I make known the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as I ought to today. Father, I lean to the Holy Spirit as a leader in this moment, and I thank you that there will be a great demonstration of bear witness to this training, and that it will not only be just a training and a deliberation of theological discourses, but it will also be a provoker of change in the personal lives of those who have committed to the sacred vocation of the ministry and those who are developing in the things of God concerning their walk and development. Father, we desire to position ourselves to be in line with your will, and it is your will that we come and inquire of and reason with in the Scriptures, because we know the Scriptures are of no private interpretation and that they must be rightly divided. So we trust you, Holy Spirit, to be a great educator this season as we deliberate over the concepts of prayer and go over and reinforce the tools of prayer that you have allotted in the Scripture and validated with your word, and even bore the witnesses attested through the examples that you have placed and entrusted in our lives as models of the faith. We thank you, Lord, for that, that you have placed these examples and placed this as a priority in our life. And we will not take for granted the things that we will learn on this journey of prayer. And, Father, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and the glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Revelations concerning the realm of prayer is an exciting study because it examines not only just the method of prayer or the usage of prayer in a believer's life. It looks at the aspects and the concepts, the theology, the manner in which we convey our confidence in prayer. But all forms of prayer exist upon certain knowledges that pertain to a relationship with the Holy God. And in every religion that is out there, there is a doctrine of prayer. However, there is not in every religion a result to the prayer that has been instructed upon. So we have to look into how we discuss prayer, how we teach prayer, how we pray in order to really embody the realm of prayer that we're discussing. Tonight's lesson comes from the volume of teaching, Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life. Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life. And we're dealing with the introductory phase of the realms of prayer. And hopefully we will set enough groundwork to get into the seven revelations concerning the realm of prayer. Men should always pray, the scripture says, and not to faint. Always pray. Pray without ceasing. We see scriptures in that, and we have to be, as diligent believers, disciples, disciplined people, people who know not only the fundamentals of prayer, but have actually went into the holies of holies and received revelation knowledge concerning prayer. So that way, when we speak, it is based on our lifestyle of communion with the Holy God, who has established covenant with us individually and collectively to expand his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, we know Jesus had a lot to say about prayer, and that Jesus is the ultimate benchmark for the pattern of the manner in which we should pray. And just as a bonus note that is not mentioned and that I did not mention, we understand that Matthew chapter 6 is not the Lord's Prayer, although we claim it to be the Lord's Prayer. But it's the Lord's doctrine on prayer. It's the manner in which you should pray. and that we know that the Lord's Prayer is ultimately John 17, chapter 17, where he actually prays on the behalf of us and on the behalf of the will of God. So with that being said, we need to look again at scriptures to make sure that we're confident not only in our own personal prayer life, but in the doctrines that we have shaped around our prayer life. And when you preach, it is the overflow of your prayer life that you should be preaching from. And the preaching is where the development of your theology that has been constructed based on the communication that is in your prayer life. And a lot of times, because we have allowed religious traditions to set in, we make the word of God of none effect. That's why you hear me say words like theology and doctrine, and some people even get tuned off on that because we have New Age philosophy infused in our minds and false forms of charismatic renewals that have not been matured by the governance of the word, and just straight pure English words that we shun from words like theology and discourses and meditations and things, because we have not developed wisdom needed to properly understand the usage of words and their contribution to our stand on what we believe. Not only acting, because you can only act confidently in what you believe when you understand what you believe. And that's what this teaching on prayer does. It focuses us to develop a greater understanding on what we believe about praying and why we believe what we believe and how to effectively communicate what we believe to those who don't believe. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? The word of God. The word of God has to be revealed to the preacher, because how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they be sent? They have to develop a relationship with God. And that relationship with God is under the confines of the quality and the concept of the word prayer. And prayer has been misused and abused, and we as ministers of the gospel must purpose in our lives to develop a solid foundation concerning prayer. And so we have three introductory passages, and I'm going to read them in their entirety, and then I'll go back and extrapolate some truths. Psalms chapter 5, verses 1 through 8 says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art the God that hath pleasure, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leaving. The Lord will arbor the bloody and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into the house in thy multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because my enemies have because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face." Now go with me to Second Chronicles. I'm going to go back to that because there's some pertinent truths in there. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 18. "The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven, there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among the people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou would walk before me as David thy father walked, and according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservatives of supplication for all saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I think these scriptures are so pivotal in our dialogue in this course on prayer, because they all have unique facets to them in relations to developing, not only developing a prayer life, but sustaining a prayer life. There are reasons why we pray. And yeah, we're going to go into the enemy's part. I very rarely talk about the enemy on these lessons. There is a devil, but we don't direct our and develop our prayer life because of devils. We develop our prayer life, and a lot of times the development of our prayer life is when we just initially establish the reality that as for me in my house, we will pray. And it's when we just begin to pray, and a lot of times that prayer initially is done ignorantly because we don't necessarily know how to pray, and the Word of God establishes the barometer, the laws, the decrees, and the manners in which we should pray. But initially, you just need to pray. Unfortunately, with that being said, there's a lot of preachers, because they have neglected the knowledge development necessary to obtain the vocation in confidence, and they have neglected to study to show themselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God concerning their prayer life. They continue to pray in manners in which God is not involved. And then there's a scripture that we're going to get into in a couple of weeks that talks about when you're not attentive to the law of God, God doesn't pay attention to your prayer life. So there's a certain amount of development that you're just going to have to do in the Word of God. And, you know, we always read Second Chronicles, and my people who are called by their name will humble themselves and pray. But we really don't really exegete it properly in the manner in which the Lord intended and why he granted the request of healing their land, forgiving their sins. And people want forgiveness of sins and healing of their land and prosperity and all of these things, but they have not developed and established a means for God to work with them. And that is established in the realm of prayer. And if we as ministers don't exemplify this realm of prayer, we're the same boat as the people that we minister to. And the blind lead the blind. What happens? They both fall in the ditch. In Psalms chapter 5, it lets us understand that there's already an arena of which praying. When you first come into the knowledge of the truth that you need to develop a relationship with the Holy God, you are alerted that his sheep knoweth his voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. As a result of that, you begin to communicate to God as a means of first obtaining the knowledge of his voice, because it's the knowledge of his voice that stimulates the confidence necessary to approach the word and to approach the manner in which you should pray when you are determined to pray properly. But no one can make you pray properly without the will to do so. But how many of you know we are assured by the Holy Spirit that it is he that causes us to will and do his good pleasure? So if we allow the Lord to be Lord in our lives, there is a factor of his compassion and his love that provokes us to pray, but not only to pray, but pray properly. So I'm not talking to those who are ignorant and just religiously going through a ritual of prayer, but those who are set on praying in the manner that they can get God's attention, that they could also obtain pleasure when they're getting God's attention and get results. Hallelujah. And so That's what this psalmist wrote. And the psalmist also says this. I love that in verse 8 of Psalms 5, where it says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies, but make thy way straight before my face." Because in order to really develop a true prayer life, there has to be a straight path, but it's going to be in the path of righteousness. And the righteousness is where you begin to have a revelation of God. Hallelujah. So our prayer life is elevated to the realm that establishes standards for our vocation of faith. In the setting of a standard of a prayer life is illuminated by the revelation knowledge extracted from the throne. As we become accustomed to the presence of God, we are entrusted with the power to release the revelation that the Word gives as an advancement of the expansion of our realms of faith. Not only in the verbalizing of the kingdom's agenda, but in addition to the embodiment of the Word being made flesh. Glory to God. So the realm of prayer was so advantageous that the disciples pressed upon Jesus to learn the manner in which they should pray. What we don't emphasize in dealing with that, and that's what we find in Matthew chapter 6, is why they pressed on why they pressed for learning how to pray. And what we must emphasize is what prompted the press in the knowledge of prayer. And that's what we're going to really talk about in this lesson. Because a lot of times it's really the pressing factor. And you can be alert. I know a lot of preachers who travel and minister and go all across the world. I'm in covenant with a lot of ministers. And I see the manner in which they go about things, and I can tell that a lot of the challenges that they have, and even in the interpretation of Scripture, this is a mere interpretation of Scripture, is predicated upon the lack of prayer life that they have. They're not communing with the Father enough, and they come out with these elusive principles that don't correlate with each other because they haven't really developed a relationship with the Word to develop a relationship, which stems from a development of prayer. And the acknowledgement of God establishes our prayer link, but that acknowledgement will also indicate the importance or the vitality of acquiring the knowledge of the Word. And so if you are a minister of the gospel, you need to understand that everything that your ministry contains is predicated on your prayer life. Hallelujah. And so in the book of Matthew, the whole if we go through the first 10 chapters, in the 10th chapter, he commissioned them to go into ye all the world. You can see that by the 6th chapter, they were alerted to the importance of being prayed for. And that's what this lesson is going to help you open up with. Okay, now the objective of this is to examine and suggest affirmations directed from the scriptures as a plan of action that establishes a communion with God, that provokes a lifestyle of prayer that obtains the power to exemplify and perform the sacred vocation of ministry we profess. Now, in chapters 1 through 6, we can glimpse at the pathway to the quest for understanding how to pray. And that's what I love about the Word of God. That God doesn't just teach us, and when we have the Bible as final authority, we see that God doesn't just tell us to pray for the sake of just exemplifying our religious duty, but we pray, and there are reasons as to why we pray. Now, the prayer is going to be a result of our seeking, and of course, I always take you to Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "Why do we seek God?" The scripture lets us know because he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future, an expected end. So we seek God for a reason. We don't just seek God for any old elusive way. And, of course, I would always take you to Hebrews 11:6. That says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen, that's actually verse 3, were made by the things that do not appear. And in the verse 6 it says, that anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. That's a part of our faith. That's a part of our development in faith. And when we go about seeking the Lord, one of the means of seeking God is communicating, just establishing a dialogue, a means of communication. Now, why am I going over these fundamentals? So that when you can know in your nerve without a shadow of any form of doubt, and there's really no shadows in doubt. Doubt is just doubt. That's just the manner in which we have been accustomed to. But you can have a knowledge of the reason for your praying, and that you can go back to scriptures and know that it's the will of God for you to pray. One of the basic things, and you know, I went to school, so one of the objectives in establishing a prayer life is to establish a prayer life just because Jesus told you to pray. But you would be amazed at the manner and the means in which ministers neglect their prayer life. And you can tell in the manner and the conduct of their life, because your prayer life ultimately disciplines your conduct. Hallelujah. So in chapters 1 through 6, we glimpsed perhaps a pathway to the quest for understanding prayer. Having seen Jesus perform the miraculous and revolutionary theologies in his teaching on the manner in which the calling he had commissioned for their lives provoked a drastically different manner of life, that after encountering the manner in which he taught changed their understanding on how they should pray. So when they begin to see Jesus, because see, in chapter 1 through 6, they saw the miracles. They saw Jesus teaching on attitudes, the Beatitudes. They saw Jesus talking on murder, marriage, adultery, forgiveness. They found out that they were the salt of the earth, and they were the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to let their light so shine before men that they might see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. They were taught things of God. They saw him manifest. They saw blinded eyes open. They saw the sick healed. So there was a means for them to acquire. After understanding this and after understanding, you understand that because of their heritage, automatically they had some type of understanding on prayer, because our bodies are developed and created to worship. So they had an understanding of the practice of worship, of prayer, because they were raised in a majority of in the Jewish culture. And then in that day, it wasn't like prayer was aloof, but there was a greater quality of prayer after the understanding of the teaching that Jesus had displayed. Glory to God. And so when Jesus teaches, it provokes every area in your life to change. So a lot of times when people don't pray and they don't provoke to change their prayer life, it's because they really haven't allowed the Lord Jesus to be the Lord in their life to expose the nature and the manner of how they should pray, which goes back to their state of salvation. Because when you really are established in the walk with the Lord that is provoked based on the Lordship, and you allow God to be God and Jesus to be Lord of your life, you would do whatever it takes. And I just feel the anointing of my leaders when I'm talking about this. You would do whatever it takes to exemplify the relationship necessary to attain the knowledge necessary to be who you are. When you come into the Christian experience, you come with all types of things thrown at you. People are communicating about faith. You're trying to figure out what faith is all about in conjunction to a scriptures that are thousands of years old that are not subject to proper interpretation, yet you don't understand the words that are clearly written on the pages. Why? Because the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. So this is a great manner and a means of prayer. And it is the pivotal stages of our vocation, of our sacred vocation. It's our priestly responsibility. And that's why it provoked them to pray. So when you see them, Lord, teach us how to pray, it's because of the things that they saw. Perhaps the means of the reasons why you don't pray is because you don't see nothing. You don't see what you should see. Which lets me know that there may be a point of introspection where you need to go back and evaluate the manner of your conduct. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when they heard that Jesus taught what Jesus taught, they understood that they had to change their manner of prayer, which also, after observing the passage, prompted a cause for their question. You got to understand, they didn't question for no reason. And the scripture was written for our learning. We need to learn why they asked what they asked. And sometimes, thank God for the questions of the disciples, because of their questions, we have an absolute sure foundation to establishing a prayer life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you'll find that when you take out the religion of it and you seek God as to how to do it, it'll be more rewarding than to be religiously doing something out of a means of tradition. Because the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And the word of God, in effect, establishes your prayer life. So, and that's why it's so important that they ask that question, because I don't believe Jesus would have allowed them to go out on his behalf if they were not established in their prayer life. And he did not let them go out on their own until after they had this teaching. So this is not something that we're constructing because, oh, this is a season that we should be praying. It's like before Easter and this and that. No, this is a teaching that the Lord Jesus wants us to instruct. And then they heard that Jesus taught it, it prompted them to pray what? Directly. See, there's a direct manner in which you should pray. And that's why preachers need to be empowered to pray. Because there's a direct manner in which God wants you to pray. Have you ever noticed when I pray over, there's a direct method and a manner in which I pray? Why? Because the Lord has directed me to pray a certain way when I'm ministering to the minister. Hallelujah. Another study I would suggest you becoming acquainted with is the prayers that the apostles prayed after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and how their prayer illuminated based on the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit is the ultimate foundation of the realm of prayer there, because that's whom the ultimate foundation of the Holy Spirit is one with God and one with Jesus. And Jesus has relegated him the authority in this, as the authority figure in this dispensation. He leads and guides us into all truth, and that truth contains the reality of prayer. It is the Holy Spirit that is the ultimate foundation of the realm of prayer, which is different from merely praying or the act of praying, because you saw a lot of people praying in the Old Testament that weren't doing it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And when you have Spirit-directed prayer, you get Spirit-directed results. So one of our portals passages suggests, and that goes back to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go right back there. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in where? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For, and for me, that the utterance may be given as that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for there which I am an ambassador in bond. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you don't even know how to speak properly unless you pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit with all types, all prayers and supplications in the. So the scripture lets us know that you don't even ask God anything if it's not Spirit directed. That's what supplication, request. And we'll talk a little bit about supplication in the manner of how we supplicate in the Spirit, because a lot of times we've said things, but we don't know why we do what we do. And that's why the Lord has me reviewing some fundamentals, and this is an essential fundamental for us to go on. And, because, see, you hear things like manifestation going, broadening to next levels and stuff, and you don't know how to get there. Because there's no one teaching on the essential doctrine of the church, which is prayer. Men ought to always pray. Always pray. And we don't discuss how we do that successfully. And then we have people praying and fasting and doing all types of rituals, and they're not getting results, and their confidence diminishes. What do you know, First John? This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that we have the petition of him because we've asked according to his will. We know these scriptures, but we're not applying it, first of all, to our lives. And then in our discourse, we're not really emphasizing the importance of prayer. Everybody should be at some form of intercession. You know, you have churches and they have intercession, and be by 5-6 people in the intercession. And then those who really pray through and causing the currencies of prayer in the services very few and far in between. And a lot of them are old because they don't learn through time of walking out that you need to pray. But we shouldn't wait till we get feeble of knees to pray. If we start instituting just at the foundational rate, when they're growing, when they develop, it'll be already expensive. I got to go on because I got to finish this text. Glory to God. But I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is the foundation for the realm of prayer. The Holy Spirit, so in the state of this, so this suggests that every form of prayer that is done based on this knowledge and based on Ephesians 6:18 should be in the spirit realm. So our realm of prayer is acquainted around the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is the leadership of the Holy Spirit that signifies our prayer is associated with the manner in which the Lord hath depicted his disciples to pray. Hallelujah. So I'm alerted to the reality that ministers are acquainted with the basis of prayer, but my efforts are in conjunction with the recommendation given by Paul to the Thessalonians, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to be as imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. So you're dear to me. This is why I'm dealing with you in this manner. For we remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are our witnesses of God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. So part of me talking about this is because I'm praying. And my desire is to see that everybody abounds not only in the gospel of God, but in the manner in which we have exemplified as a ministry to be a ministry of prayer. And glory to God, if your foundation, if the foundation of your ministry is not prayer, your labor is in vain. Because then you're dissociating yourself with other influences that have, or associating yourself with other influences that are not directed by the Spirit. And that hearing is not enhanced with other things surrounding the world, and the world tries to distract you from your prayer life. And in Psalm chapter 5, the position is a decision that you have to make to pray and in the manner in which you should pray, glory to God. And then after that manner is made, then the Lord will enlighten you how to directly pray, and he'll make a straight path before your face so you can have confidence. But God needs to know your meditation, and that's what he's exemplifying. And so, it tells us in verse 11, and you know, it is order and be in comfort with charge every one of you, as the Father doth his children, that he would walk worthy of God, who has called us unto his kingdom and his glory. So you know that part of our sacred vocation is exemplifying a worthy walk, and that is achieved mainly because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates to us that our prayer life, which shapes our dedication and compliance to divine sovereignty, it upholds the will of God for our lives, that he has entrusted with us not only for ourselves, but to affirm others in faith. So God's purpose is to create, in the nature of man, a conscience that provokes them to the reality of the will of God through prayer. That will of God that contains the revelation of the power that is released specifically when you pray. The will of God is the source of our reality. The reality is contained in the atmosphere where the word of God is final authority. The atmosphere of God is established only in a state of righteousness, which we receive by faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that grants us grace to the benefit of the state of righteousness, also properly termed as the anointing. So the anointing of God is established in the atmosphere of the state of righteousness, which shapes our purpose of prayer, the realm of prayer. That's why you cleanse yourself before you go into prayer. Make sure you're clean. Glory to God. So to establish a foundation for provoking us to the realm of prayer, I want to go to a familiar text, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and illuminate the revelation knowledge pertaining to the importance of prayer. But just before I do that, and which we'll close on tonight, I want to give some reasons that prevent preachers from praying persistently in the realm of prayer. I'm going to give 5 basic reasons, and then I'm going to go into another subject, and we're going to close for tonight. The first one It's a lack of appreciation to the role that was placed upon the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ, which also indicates a lack of reverence toward the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when a preacher doesn't pray, they don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit. And they don't understand how Jesus relegated the authority to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So that means you discredit the lordship of the Lord Jesus in your life when you don't pray. But a lot of it is because we don't recognize, because we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not because of lack of spirit, but a lack of knowledge. And because we reject knowledge. The scripture says he even rejects our children. So one of the reasons I've learned and I've come to the knowledge is people don't really understand the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. When you're leading and you've been entrusted with a ministry which God has ordained for you to do. The second reason is too much confidence in our ability to communicate on God's behalf. And really it's not confidence, because cast out away your confidence, because in there is great recompense of reward. It's really arrogance. We become arrogant. And you can tell in the manner of which some people preach. Especially people, you know, I can say personally, I'm a systematic person. There's a systematic manner. We've gone over almost 8 scriptures so far. And generally, I don't go over 8 scriptures in a lesson. But some scriptures and some lessons contain 12 to 24 or 36. One lesson the other week had 36 scriptures in it. I'm a very methodical person in my deliberation of and discourse over theological agendas. So when I discuss the word, there's a confidence because of my ability to use scriptures and the line of scriptures, but I can't rely on that. When it came to this message and the prophet, I had other agendas. I wanted to go into 5 legitimate means of ministry and have the outline, 5 points for each category, 5 categories, 25 scriptures to go with the lesson. We'll get to that. But my prayer life prompted me to teach on prayer. If I was arrogant in my ability to communicate on God's behalf, it's because the time of prayer has become a mere tradition and a ritual. And that's what happens a lot to a lot of preachers. We know to wake up in the morning and pray. We know to bless our food and pray. We know to pray over dedications. We know to pray at the beginning of church meetings. We know to pray over things that we made it such a tradition that we have lost the sacredness of prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Time really doesn't let me really get into this, but we have to realize that we really form an arrogance versus a confidence. I said confidence in my notes, but I scratched it out and put arrogance, because you're really not confident when you're not praying. Because you don't know that you hear God when you don't have a prayer life. You don't have a knowledge that you know when God speaks. Because the sheep knoweth his voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. And when you're following another voice, even your own voice, it's because you're arrogant. You're not confident in the word of God. And because you have been given privilege and grace to speak on God's behalf and God's backed up your word, sometimes you can get a position of arrogance and miss out in the manner in which God may take you and grow you into another area that's predicated on your prayer life. So your prayer life is essential, and you must always, even though we are confident in the knowledge of the word of God, we are assured that he that is promised is faithful, so we don't have to keep questioning ourselves whether we're going to deliver what we've been ordained to do. We have to make sure that we maintain a reverence toward God that always keeps us in a state of humility when it comes to communicating on God's behalf. And don't allow our prayer time to become ritual or traditional just for the sake of habit. Because if you're going through motions, most of the time you're not speaking, you're not hearing from God. And prayer is a two-sided facet of communication. Receptivity and also transmitting information. Not just transmitting your request, but there's a dialogue in prayer. The third thing is the priority of prayer is reduced because of the demands and the functions beyond the manner in which the Lord has deemed as a worthy work. So a lot of times we have a lot of scheduling and we do a lot of events that have nothing to do with the priorities in which God has ordained for our lives. And you're traveling 37 times out of a 30-day month. That's unhealthy. Your prayer line is, now you can pray on the plane. I believe you can pray on the plane, but there should be times when you have times of prayer. I got to hurry on because we have a little less time, and I want to hit this one last point that we have beyond these 5 points that I'm giving. And then number four, because of the common ignorance that makes it seem like it's not a sin that is to pray. The scripture lets us know in Samuel, and I'll give you the scripture next week or next lesson, that it is a sin not to pray. I went to school, and I didn't hear that once you come into the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God, that it's a sin when you don't pray. I've never heard any preacher say that until I was enlightened by one of my mentors that it's a sin not to pray. So I'm telling you now that when you don't pray, you're sin. You're in a state of sin. Glory to God. And so ultimately, verse 5, it always stems back to a lack of reverence toward the Word of God. Because anybody who has a reverence for the Word of God would know the importance of how it is to pray. And sometimes, even though you preach it, because you don't reverence what you preach, and it's just to get you into certain states, you sometimes tend to yield to the flesh as to how to do certain things. Amen. I got 5 minutes, and I want to give you something. You, as a representative of the kingdom of God, should exemplify in the manner in which you should pray. And you, as a representative of the kingdom of God, must take into consideration that you always represent God whether men see you or don't. On a special note, and this is what I want to end with, as ministers, we should never communicate we are going to pray about something. Let me say that again. As a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should never communicate that we are going to pray about something as a means to stall from answering a question. You may ask why, and I will say this and be as clear as possible, and I will validate this with 3 basic scriptures. And after today, you will have no excuses and telling people, I'm going to pray about it as a means to stall. You are representative of the kingdom of God in the manner in which you should answer people who ask for some form of request. Is not based on your prayer life, because your prayer life is sacred. If you can't automatically make a decision, you should say no until you can say yes, because you have determined the best, because you have to have time to determine the best course of action to take for a given situation. That's why it needs to be slow to speak, quick to listen. You prove that you are not in compliance in the manner in which the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus has instructed us as ministers to answer when you stall by telling someone you're going to pray about it. You show that you're out of order and that you're not in compliance with the manner in which the Lord has depicted in Scripture. Now, some of you might have problems with that. I don't care if you have problems with that personally. But the Scriptures that I'm going to read to you you're going to have problems with the Scripture. Because the Scripture tells us, and the Lord Jesus, more importantly, tells us how we should give answers to people. And you telling someone that you're going to pray about it is not the manner in which the Holy Spirit would direct you to do that. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to pray about it. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. If you hear me, don't tell me that. If I'm asking you something, say no until you can say yes. I'm going to pray about it. And then if you don't pray, you don't curse your own self from not committing to your vow to pray. And that's why I'm getting strong with you on this last point. Because many people do that, and that's a bad habit. That's inappropriate, especially for those who are called to the ministry. And I want you to write these scriptures down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Under two or three witnesses, the scripture says, let everything be established. I'm establishing this based on these three scriptures. Okay, and the last, I'm gonna read last Matthew 5:37. And that's just as clear as possible. And it's the Lord Jesus saying it. You can't refute what the Lord Jesus said. Glory to God. If you do, you're just foolish. And I do mean to sound a little stern when I say this. I do. And you know why? Because we have to raise the bar of excellence for ministry. And we're not going to do it by playing nice. We got to do it because of the righteousness that has been revealed to us in the presence of God and exemplify his righteousness. And I like this, and I don't normally quote from the New International Version, but I want it to be as plain as possible about this because I think it's important that we learn how to communicate. Don't violate the realm of prayer. Don't violate the realm of prayer by stalling to answer people's questions. And all of us have done this, and I've gotten to the point where it's easy for me to say no. And if I'm learning, and especially as a head of an organization, if you can't say yes or no, then your answer is no. At least no. Until you can say yes. And then that's the standard that you take. Not I try. Because you can't try to do something, you either do it or you don't. I'll think about it because your thoughts, there's all types of thoughts that go through your head. If a person's given a request, it should be, and then now if everybody's asking you for everything, then that should alert you that your conduct is not in the position of where you can stand out and be a representative because part of you being separated is being sanctified. And that sanctification will prevent a whole lot of foolishness from occurring in your life. Let's go to these scriptures. I'm going to read out the NIV and then the King James Version of Matthew 5:37, but you can read out the NIV. But 2 Corinthians, and then we'll close after this. But I want to close on this point because I really want to hit this point because I hear a lot of preachers say, I'm going to pray about it. Don't tell me that. But most of the time you're lying. And then that changes my position and my respect towards you as a minister. Personally, but it may not to you, you may not do that to others, but this is a good standard to have because of the word of God. It says, now look, and this is Paul talking about him planning to visit the Macedonians. I plan to visit you on my way and come back to you from Macedonia, and then I send, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. So he lets you know why he's coming. When I plan this, did I plan it lightly? Did I do this lightly? Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say yes and no? In other words, I'm indecisive. Yes, yes, and no, no. But as surely as God is faithful, our message is to you not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, always yes. So if he said he was going to do it, it was yes. No flaky. In other words, it was only no. There was no such thing as no, because if he said he was going to do it, he was going to do it. It was already yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen, and so shall it be, is spoken by us for the glory of God. Now, this lets you, I'm telling you, if you really can understand, and I know you can understand, and you have a broad comprehension, you can see that he exemplifies his planning based on the pattern in which God has instructed the manner in which he establishes his promises. So he's not flaky in his answers. He's not flaky in his choices. He's not flaking in his comings and his going. Why? Because he done already established that if I'm coming, and if I said I'm coming, because God is faithful, and the amen is already settled in heaven because of his promises, you know nothing is yes. I'm not coming with a yes, yes, no, no in the same breath. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. So this is a positioning. And I had to give you this. I know I'm going to lower over time, but I can do that. But I had to give you this point. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, church people go in the congregations, I understand we got all types of people that come in the congregation. But this is the scripture. I'm giving you the word. And if you saw how I executed this passage, you'll shore up your foundation about the decisions and people making requests to you. The answer is no until you say yes. And then Peter, I like Peter. Peter says, even if you suffer, should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. See, a lot of times when you're making decisions, and I'm really helping you about making decisions. You ain't set Christ as Lord in your heart, and that's why you can't really. You're always delaying and you're stagnating because you don't have a purpose-driven life. And when you have a purpose-driven life, and you set when you set Christ as the Lord in your heart, glory to God. There's a greater meaning, a greater reverence for the things of God and the manner in which you conduct yourself. He said, don't fear what they fear. And when you set up your life and become disciplined because you're in the presence of an orderly God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's orderly. Glory to God. I'm taking my time on this, and I'm going to take my time on this. I guess this is going to be an hour program. I know this is an hour and a half program. We got to get this. We got to get this because so many preachers are so indecisive, and it's as a result of neglecting prayer, and then also decision making. And it's a decision that prompts you to pray. It's a decision. Just making the decision to be a person of prayer. And because you use prayer as an excuse to stall. Your integrity, your character doesn't reverence the power that is released when you pray. And that's a lack of discipline in your life. Now, this is a part of ministry development. This is training for ministers. Jesus, when he walked around, he didn't walk around, oh, well, if you come and follow me, you might get a promise, you might get a blessing. He said, look, there's no one that has left father, house, mother, sister, brother, gave away houses and lands that will not receive it back a hundredfold in their lifetime. Why? Because he was a purpose-driven person. And that should prompt us. That's why I read this little passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16 through 25. He planned to go to Macedonia. He said, look, if I plan to come here, I plan to come here. And this, he not only said that, he had boldness when he was... Because, you know, in Corinthians, he was rebuking them in 1 Corinthians. Well, 2 Corinthians, he was kind of checking back up on them again and kind of consoling them. But he said, if I'm coming, I'm faithful. I'm writing this letter to prepare you for when I come. And then after I come, you won't send me to Judea. And when you begin to step, because the steps of a good man are what? They're ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in... He delighteth in their way. Glory to God. Now let's keep reading because I want you to hear this. Now it's interesting how those scriptures. And I'm giving you a little this theological discourse, trying to advance your perspectives on things. It's amazing how the Lord in this passage and in 2 Corinthians, how the Lord has first used two pivotal apostles, Peter and Paul, you know, to both deal with not that as a result of your relationship with God, there's an order that flies out of your life. Both of them say that. You're assured, and that's why I come to you in the manner that I come to you. You heard the gospel because of me, Paul is saying. Peter's saying, look, when you separate, you keep a clear conscience so that. And it says, always, 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 Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. And, of course, it gives you a concept of what they're asking you for. But in conjunction, you can always extrapolate the principle, but you should always be ready to give an answer. And it's quite simple. If you can't say yes, the answer is no. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks of the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with what gentleness and respect. So it tells you how to do it. You can be respectful, but you say yes or no. Keep a clear conscience. You can't keep a clear conscience when you're stalling. So that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, because you're set them in your heart as Lord, and you're prepared to give an answer, and you don't fear, and you're not frightened, because they'll be ashamed of their slander. But why are they ashamed of your sin, slander? Because you always talk about you praying about it. Your gaze are not gaze. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know it's a little rough, but it's right. And like I was saying, church is preaching, apostle was preaching a good message. It's tight, but it's right. Yeah, it's better and I like verse 17. It says, "It is better if the will of God, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than doing evil. For Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prisons who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes the baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of good conscience toward God." A lot of times when you don't give direct answers to people because you don't have a good conscience, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, so he can't be God the Father if he's at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers, and submission to him. So we understand this, that when we set apart the Lord as Christ in our heart, we are prepared. The preparation is based on the same manner in which the Lord redeemed us from sin, the reality of his resurrection from the dead, the place of his positioning, a state of righteousness, which is the atmosphere by which the Holy Spirit conveys to us the importance of prayer, which we must seek after and are assured that if we seek, we find. We understand that God will help us make decisions. And he tells us, don't be afraid. Always be ready to give an answer. Be prepared to give an answer. So you don't tell people, I'm going to pray about it. And then finally in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus says this clearly. And, of course, you know, you talk about gray hair, young hair. He said, don't worry about whether you're old or young. Goes on, and he's just giving you straight principles to govern your affairs in Matthew chapter 5 and talks about you the salt of the earth and tells you about letting your light so shine, of course. But in verse 37, it says, but let your communication be. So this is how you communicate. And see, if you're like that in your regular communication and your prayer communication, you'll be just as disciplined. And a lot of times when we're preaching and we're teaching on people's prayer lines and seeing why they're not getting results, we can easily isolate the manner of discipline that they've allotted toward prayer. Glory to God. So he says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So he lets you know, when you talk about, I'll pray about it, I'll do something, or I'll try, I'll think about it, or, you know, things like that, when it's not yea or no, it's the source of it is evil. Now, I gave you three passages of scriptures that all validify. If you don't agree with it, that's fine, but you have a problem with the word and not me. And that, I wanted to end with that because a lot of the things that we're going to talk about in prayer and talking about realities in prayer is going to be as a result of a purpose character that is set on achieving the will of God and allowing the word to be made flesh in their life. That's where we're going. And the discipline that comes out of the rest of the material that we have allotted in these passages and these lessons that we're going through are going to be predicated on you determining, yes, I'm going to pray. No, I'm not going to allow anything to separate me from prayer. I'm not going to allow excuses. I'm not going to allow thought patterns and fear to prevent me from praying. I'm a person of prayer. And when you establish that, then you open up the atmosphere. Because God said, let your yea be yea. He said, if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Be hot or cold. That's what the scripture said. And as a minister, to a minister, that's my encouragement to you. To line up with God's word. To stop straddling the fence. To be steadfast, unmovable, yet abounding in the work of the Lord. So that your labor won't be in vain. Amen. So we've learned a lot tonight, and we haven't even scratched the surface of getting into it. But Sunday we're going to go into the first few points in the seventh revelation of the reality of the realm of prayer. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. I was blessed by the word of God. Father, we thank you for the word that you received. We pray that the meditations of my heart, the intent of my thoughts, the deliberation of this discourse of theology will not only be just a theological discussion, but it would thrive and provoke people to greater elevations of prayer, decision-making, righteous living, because of the pattern that you set in your word, that you've clearly given us as a means of a straight path. You set plain paths before us, and you've given us light for our path, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the role of the Holy Spirit. We release ourselves and relinquish our rights to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that directs us to truth based on the word and the giving of your word. You alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and revealed. In Jesus' name, thank you for your time, and I will see you on our next broadcast. Good night.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of Edmarket involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our human resource office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. The number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, LaVon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Thank you, Youth Squad listeners, for tuning in to Youth Squad Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of the Urban Glory Campaign. Tonight we revisited the message, Empowering a Preacher's Prayer Life, knowing that prayer is a major part of consecration. It is a vital part of consecration. We must communicate and commune with God effectively in order for our consecration to be effective in itself. Have a great night and tune in on Thursday at 10 p.m. again from 10 until 12 for our next USWAT segment. And as our CEO and host of USWAT Radio, LaVon Breland, says always, it's glory from here. Good night.